Hi, and welcome to the podcast titled The Dingbat Calendar, Cultural Icon of Canada. I'm Al Randall. Today I'm speaking with journalist Warren Pearley, editor of BestStory.ca. We'll be discussing a fascinating story Warren has written about the history of the Dingbat Calendar, posted on BestStory.ca. To begin with, Warren, why don't you explain to listeners what BestStory.ca is about and what is a dingbat?
Thanks for the introduction, Al. To answer your first question, BestStory.ca is Canada's only ad-free long-form journalism site. We've been publishing since 2012. We provide professional editing and layout for freelance journalists who have stories they wish to post online. Now, to answer your second question as to what are dingbats, well, they're whimsical, gnome-like little creatures. They came from the imagination of a very gifted artist named Dudley Ward more than 100 years ago. He featured them in some of his watercolor paintings. He likely gave them the funny name dingbats because they were comical-looking, mischievous little creatures.
So if I understand correctly, those dingbats started out being in Dudley Ward's paintings but ended up becoming part of an annual calendar? How'd that happen?
It's an amazing story that until now has never been fully told. It involved artist Dudley Ward and entrepreneur Charles E. Frost. Frost was a visionary businessman who started the first Canadian pharmaceutical plant in Montreal in 1899. Then 15 years later, in 1914, he was searching for a way to promote his medical products to pharmacists and doctors across Canada. When he saw one of Dudley Ward's paintings featuring a dingbat, he fell in love with the funny little character. Next thing you know, he hired Ward to illustrate the Frost Company's first calendar for 1915.
Where were the dingbat calendars distributed?
Thousands of them were printed and given away as promotional gifts to pharmacists, doctors, dentists, and hospital workers. At the beginning, most were in Quebec and Ontario, but eventually they went across Canada with an annual print run of between 50,000 and 60,000 calendars.
And for how many years did Charles E. Frost and Company distribute the Dingbat Calendar?
Well, their first calendar appeared in 1915, about 6 months after World War I broke out. They continued publishing for most of the years between 1915 and 1993. What's really amazing is that five different world-class artists were involved in creating the Dingbat calendars during that 78-year period.
And what makes them so special?
The artwork was extraordinary, very funny. Every scene was a tongue-in-cheek depiction of some event happening in the world that year, usually in the fields of science and medicine. In fact, those calendars are still collectibles if you can find them. They're quite rare.
Tell us a little bit about the article you wrote for BestStory.ca about Charles E. Frost and the succession of dingbat illustrators he hired.
Well, first, I'd like to give a call out to my colleague, Karen Bohr, who is a graphic artist by profession. She spent the better part of 1 year researching genealogy sites and newspaper archives to come up with little-known facts about the five dingbat artists and Charles E. Frost.
Can you share some of the nuggets that Karen dug up?
Let's start with Charles E. Frost. He was an American by birth. His family has deep roots in the United States, dating back to the arrival of the Puritans in the 1600s. He moved to Montreal in the late 1800s and ended up becoming the greatest pharmaceutical entrepreneur in the history of Canada. He was a real visionary.
When you say that Frost was a visionary, what do you mean by that?
He built the first plant in Montreal to make pharmaceutical products for Canadians. He invested heavily in hiring scientists to perform research and development. He was very progressive. He set up scholarship funds for his employees and he provided them with excellent working conditions such as group insurance and pension plans. He loved to organize company social events, for example, family picnics and catered Christmas dinners. His staff loved him.
Does your Best Story article give us some insights as to the character of the five artists who created the Dingbat calendars between 1915 and 1993?
That's what motivated me to write the article, Al. When Karen showed me what she had come up with in her research, I was blown away. Not only were the five Dingbat illustrators world-class artists, they were also colorful characters with a rich tapestry of life experience. Reading about them is like watching scenes from a movie.
Okay, Warren, so you've got my attention. Can you give us some examples of what hooked you on the five Dingbat illustrators?
All right, here are some interesting little-known facts about each of them in chronological order. Dingbat artist number one was Dudley Ward. He was an unconventional individual with a great sense of humor who loved creating dingbat characters and beautiful fairies, often in the same paintings. He was an amazingly gifted artist who lived a bohemian lifestyle. He didn't conform to the rules of society, and that often got him into trouble. Dingbat artist number two was Ross Wiggs. He was a renowned Canadian architect who made the drawings for the world-famous Mont Tremblant Ski Lodge north of Montreal. He also shared his private thoughts and letters to a female friend while fighting in the trenches of World War I. Dingbat artist number three was L.R. Batchelor. He was a patriot who volunteered to fight in both world wars. In fact, he was a veteran of the 1917 Battle of Vimy Ridge, one of the bloodiest and greatest victories in Canadian military history. Dingbat artist number four was Alex McLaren. He created the most outstanding fundraising poster of World War II. It showed a Royal Canadian Air Force officer wearing a side cap and staring intently ahead with a headline, "How about you?" By the way, McLaren's daughter was also a well-known Canadian artist named Joyce Kellogg-Boyer, whom McLaren often used as a model. Last but not least, Dingbat artist number five was Gunter Scherer. He was a German-born Canadian artist who looked like a movie star. He was hired to illustrate the autobiography of America's most decorated World War II soldier, Audie Murphy. That book was turned into a Hollywood movie with the title To Hell and Back.
What prompted you to tell the story of the Dingbat artists and pharmaceutical entrepreneur Charles E. Frost?
It started in 2003 when I was hired to write a business profile on Merck Frost Canada. The article appeared in Southern newspapers, including the Gazette, owned at that time by Canwest Media. In that story, I alluded to Charles E. Frost and the Dingbat calendars that his company produced.
But that was over 20 years ago. Why did you wait until 2024 to write your Dingbat story?
Well, it took more than two decades for me to find the time to write it. And plus, I really didn't understand the full extent of the story and its history until Karen did the research.
Did you get any reaction from readers after your 2003 story was published in the Gazette?
Yeah, funny thing happened. I started receiving emails from Dingbat fans asking me about the calendars. They must have thought I had inside knowledge because I had written a story that mentioned dingbats.
Okay, so your colleague Karen convinced you to write the Dingbat story, correct?
Yes, when Karen dug up great archival information about the Dingbat illustrators and Charles E. Frost, I felt obliged as a journalist to write the article for beststory.ca. I think the story adds valuable understanding to that part of our Canadian history dealing with the pharmaceutical industry.
Best Story CA also produced the Dingbat calendar for 2025, correct? How'd that come about?
Both Karen and our art director, Rodney Hall, had the idea ever since I wrote the 2003 story that appeared in Southern newspapers. So once I committed to writing the current story, we felt it made sense for Karen and Rodney to create a Dingbat calendar for 2025.
And what does the 2025 Dingbat wall calendar look like?
Four words, Al. Big, bold, fun, informative. By the way, it's printed in Canada, and the paper is derived from sustainably managed forests. In terms of size, it measures 13.5 inches wide by 28 inches high with a colorful Dingbat illustration. It has a 13-page grid covering January 2025 through January 2026.
And who did the artwork for the 2025 Dingbat calendar?
Rodney created the Dingbat illustration, inserting his own drawing style and sense of humor. Karen created our Dingbat trademark logo and the calendar grid listing religious celebrations and national holidays. The entire project is under the legal ownership of beststory.ca, Inc.
Is there a reason why you did the project through beststory.ca rather than your graphics marketing company, Punctuation Graphics, Inc.?
The reason's simple. This project came together because of beststory.ca. There would be no 2025 Dingbat calendar if Karen had not done research showing the rich history of the Dingbat artists and how it was tied into the golden age of pharmaceutical R&D in Canada.
Aside from publishing the article, is there an upside for beststory.ca Inc. to get involved in producing a Dingbat wall calendar for 2025?
We think it's going to be positive for freelance journalists because we're going to use sales revenue from the Dingbat calendars to support our ad-free, long-form journalism site. Up to now, we've always subsidized beststory.ca. We've never accepted advertising or sponsorships, and we've never sought government grants, tax credits, or public donations. We've supported our ad-free, independent journalism entirely on our own nickel.
So you've kept beststory.ca alive all these years without making any money from it. Why?
Because we believe independent ad-free journalism gives readers access to unbiased reporting and writing. And that's important for a healthy democracy. Now, with revenue from the Dingbat calendar sales, we'll be able to continue offering quality journalism for pennies per story, as well as for free in many cases.
In what way will it help support Best Story's ad-free business model when people buy the 2025 Dingbat calendar?
Calendar sales are going to allow us to pay freelance journalists a fee upfront when they write original articles that we post behind our paywall. In other words, the journalists will no longer have to rely on micropayments based on their story sales, as was the case in the past. The articles behind our paywall will continue to be sold to the public for pennies each, and will continue to offer many free articles, such as our current Dingbat stories.
What are the other Dingbat articles you've written in addition to the main Dingbat story?
We have a sidebar about the Castor Pharmacy Museum in Alberta, which features the largest Dingbat Wall of Fame in the world. It was put together by a retired pharmacist named Michael Bain and his wife Wendy. Another sidebar is about the artistic challenges that Rodney and Karen faced in creating the 2025 Dingbat calendar. And I have a column called Notes from the Editor where I tell the backstory of how this entire project came together.
Where can listeners buy the 2025 Dingbat calendar and where can they read all the stories?
The 2025 Dingbat wall calendar is available exclusively on dingbatland.ca. BestStory.ca Inc. owns dingbatland.ca and is responsible for fulfilling all calendar purchases. We are using Canada Post Express with tracking and signature for deliveries worldwide. As for the Dingbat stories, they're all available for free on beststory.ca.
Are there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Yes, if you like our Dingbat stories and the 2025 Dingbat calendar, please press the recommend to a friend buttons on both dingbatland.ca and on beststory.ca. And feel free to drop me a line with any thoughts or suggestions you have via warren@beststory.ca.
Thanks for the Dingbat scoop, Warren. I think I've got just the right spot for a calendar on my wall.